Good morning, everybody. We, of all strange things, we started the study of Yeshayahu last week in chapter 42. Chapter 42, Pasuk Hey, fifth Pasuk, 42:5. Now, for the next few weeks, you may be a little confused, but I'm going to try and put you out of your confusion. As we said, our first unit is really going to encompass chapters 40, 41, 42, and 43, for a number of reasons. Number one, because in those four chapters, there are three haftarot. The one that we began with is the haftarah of Parashat Bereshit. The haftarah for Parashat Lech Lecha is in chapter 41, and leading up to the haftarah of Lech Lecha, beginning with 40, is the famous Nachamu Nachamu Ami, the haftarah of Shabbat Nachamu. We are also a few chapters down the line. We have the haftarah for Parashat Noach this week, Ani Asara. So I'm taking all of these as a unit. What I also believe to be fascinating is that most of the major ideas that are expressed by Yeshayahu are going to appear in these chapters. And as we come to each idea, we're going to attempt to elaborate it on the basis of other psukim in Yeshayahu. So let's begin again with chapter 42, Ko'amara Hakel Hashem, Pasuk 5. We'll go over those few psukim that we did last week. Ko'amara, so says Hakel Hashem, the mighty one God, Borei HaShamayim, the one who creates the heavens, Vinoteim, and spreads the heaven out. Roka Horetz V'Tzeetzoeha. Roka also means, from the word Rakia, spreading out as a covering the earth, V'Tzeetzoeha, and all that comes from it. Notein Shamala Amaleha. He is the God who gives Neshama, life, to the people who are upon the face of this earth. The ruach and spirit laholchim ba, to those who go in the land. So we pointed out, first of all, that the two names of God are used over here. Hakel Hashem. Kael is the God of nature. Hashem is the God who enters into a personal relationship with men. In this one pasuk, we have a summation of the entire story of creation. We hear about the Shamayim. We hear about Oretz, heaven and earth. In addition to heaven and earth, we are told about Tzetzoeho, means everything that comes from the earth, and we hear about man. And there are two things that are said about man. God gives man neshama and ruach. The difference between neshama and ruach is neshama means life. Ruach already is one step higher. Ruach represents the sense of spirituality, the divine spark that is in man, man's movement in the direction of the moral and the ethical. That's the ruach laholchim ba, to those who go in the land. Man is called a holech. There is a pasuk in Zechariah that says, God tells Zechariah, V'natati lecha mehalchim, I will have you be a mehalech, one who goes, in the midst of the omdim, the ones who stand. Who are the ones who stand? Angels are those who stand. Because at whatever level they are created, that's what they remain for all time. They have no free will, no choice. An angel is an angel. That's exactly where he remains. But man has the ability both to rise and to fall, because he has free will. So man is called a holech. So God, first of all, gives life to the people on the face of this earth, and he infuses them with the spirit for those who want to use it, lahochimba, to go with, to move from one level to the next. Ani Hashem karati chavit tzedek, I am the God who has called you in justice. V'achazeg biyadecha, I'm going to hold on to your hand. V'etzarch, I formed you. V'etencho lebrit am, I have made a covenant with this people that you should be la'or goyim, a light unto the nations. The pasuk could be God addressing the prophet or God addressing the Jewish people. I've taken you by the hand. I have taken you by the hand. I hold on to you. I'm the one who gives you form. And my purpose is if he's speaking to the Jewish people than it is to them, or it becomes the task of the prophet lifkoach einayim ivrot, to open eyes that are blind, lahotzi mi mazger asir mi bekele yoshvei choshech. There are two things that are described here: an asir is a person who is in jail, imprisoned, and then there are yoshvei choshech, those who live in darkness. The Malbim says that the 10 tribes of Israel that were exiled, I would imagine in Yiddish we could use the term that they were exiled to the Horei Choshech, to the mountains of darkness, someplace out, who knows where. They're considered the ones who live in darkness. The rest of the Jewish people, the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, who were really, for most of history, they were in a sense imprisoned in the homes in which they live. They may have really been in prison, they may have been in ghettos, wherever they were in their own isolated communities. So he says that the purpose of your prophecy, or the reason I send you to the Jewish people, is that you should open up eyes that are blind, in order, lahotzi mimazger, to take out from being locked up the asir, the one who is jailed, mi beit kele, from prison, yoshvei choshech, those who live in darkness. Ani Hashem, I am God, who shmi, that is my name, uchivodi la'acher lo etein, my honor I will give to no one else, utilati, I will not give my praise, lapsilin, to idols. He is going to be talking quite a bit about idolatry and heathen and pagan practices, and we will talk about that yet. Now, there are two things in this pasuk, and I want you to remember two words, because we're going to come up against these twin words a number of times over the next chapter or two. God speaks about his kavod and his tehillah, his honor and his praise. In this pasuk, God says, Ani Hashem, I am God, who shmi, that is my name, ukivodi, my honor, la'acher, lo etein, I will not give to somebody else. What is the difference between kavod and tehillah? And it will become even more important as we go on. Kavod reflects the innate uniqueness of God. It is what God is, his oneness, his personality, so to speak, is defined as kavod, his honor, the one, the only, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the one who is eternal. He was, he is, he will be. Tehillah always represents that which he does on the face of this earth, for which men praise him. In other words, in a sense, it's something that is external from him, the way in which God acts on the face of this earth. So kavod, if we want to talk about the honor of God, his glory is his uniqueness. There is none like him. And then, in addition to that, there are also the ways in which he manifests his kavod on the face of this earth. That which he does, and for that we praise him. That is tehillato. And God says, no one is going to share that. And he begins to talk about his tehillah, harishonot, the things that I told you at first, hinei bo, behold, they have come. In other words, God says, I stand on my record. I stand on my record. There were all sorts of promises that I made. I send the prophets to you, and they told you, and harishonot, hinei ba'u. Those things that I said at first, I told you what was going to happen in the future, they have already come. V'chadashot ani magid. Now I'm going to tell you even greater news. And I'm going to tell it to you b'tedem titzmachna ashmia etchem, before they even begin to blossom. There are no indications whatsoever on the face of this earth that it's going to happen. Long before it happens, I'm going to tell you about it. What he's going to talk about is open to question in the Mefarshim, and this is an ongoing difference of approach. Is he talking about the Assyrian invasion of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Chizkiyahu toward the end of Yeshayahu's, toward the latter half of Yeshayahu's life. The 10 tribes are taken into exile. Sancherev, king of Ashur, enters Eretz Yisrael. He conquers all of Yehuda and is left with only one final battle, and that's the battle for Yerushalayim. There's a beautiful description earlier in Yeshayahu that Yirmiyahu HaShem will come to one day, where he's standing someplace around Neve Yaakov that's not yet called Neve Yaakov, and he looks down and he takes a look at this city Yerushalayim, and no faith yado he machtavek mitahant. He looks down at the city and says, this is the great city of Yerushalayim. He has conquered so many other larger, greater, and more fortified cities. And therefore he says, no need to attack now. Let's wait till morning. By morning, there's nothing left of his entire camp. The angel of death strikes during the middle of the night, and Ashur is finished. The king and just a few of his men return. So now, it means, therefore, that's what's going to happen during the lifetime of Yeshayahu, when he begins to say prophecy. There's going to be the Ashur invasion of Eretz Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael are going to be saved miraculously. That's one approach. That he's talking about things close to his time, and that happen in his own time. There is a second. Many of the portion, and they're going to be clear psukim that indicate that it must be so. That he's talking about something that's 150 years down the line. The exile of Jews to Babel, and the return from the Babylonian exile. The great things that he's telling them is, you're going to come back from the Babylonian exile. That's the second. The third approach in the Mefarshim, of course, is that he's talking about the ultimate third return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, that which we have and are experiencing in our own time. Now, when I say that there are differences of opinion, and we'll see how they fit into the Pesukim, it doesn't mean that they disagree with one another. All are true. The greatness of the words of the prophet are such that there's broad and deep meaning to what he says. All of them are true. Every one of them. That which happens in his own day, that which is going to happen 150 years down the line, and that which is going to happen 3,000 years down the line. So therefore he describes, even before he tells you what it is that's going to happen, he says, when this great event is going to take place, Shiru l'Hashem Shir Chadash. Sing unto God a new song. Tehilato mikitzei ha'aretz. Ah, do you see now why I explained that the word Tehillah represents that which he does on the face of this earth for which he is praised? Because this is what man sees and what man experiences, what God does on the face of this earth. Tehillato is going to come mikitzei ha'aretz, from the very ends of the earth. Yordei hayam, those who go down to the sea, umelo'o, and those who fill the earth, im v'yoshveim, people who live on islands and who settle there. What he's describing now is the following. What is this Shir Chadash? The Shir Chadash is the following. First rescue or salvation of the Jewish people was when God took the Jewish people out of Egypt. For all intents and purposes, that was a very local kind of hit. They're slaves in Egypt and they're taken out of Egypt. Jews later on in the days of Sancherev, so Yerushalayim is surrounded, and there's a miraculous defeat of Sancherev. Very local. You know, there are, in Hebrew, if you know Hebrew, then you'd understand. You know, I love these sentences here. Yesh dvarim lokaliyim, yesh dvarim regionaliyim, yesh globaliyim. Right. Yeah. Yeah, globally. So in other words, there's that which is local, and then there's something that is larger in context because it's regional, and then there are things that are global. another Yeshayahu is saying that the new song that's going to be sung is because God's great salvation of the Jewish people is not going to be something that is going to be local or regional. Local was Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. The return of Jews from Babel was regional. But the great miracles that he's going to do for the Jewish people, well, let's use the 20th century as an example. This is global. This is global. A whole world knows about it. A whole world is involved in it. A whole world is able to follow. We're talking about Jews returning from all points of the globe. So therefore, well, now we find out that finally Cuba did something. You understand? Canada did something. 400 Jews over the last 500 years came from Cuba because Canada helped them, via Ottawa. Canada didn't have place during the Second World War for 20,000 children. They said, where can we put 20,000 children? You can put another 10 billion people in Canada and there'll still be place to move around. All right, so okay, but we have to give them credit. We have to give them credit. Okay. Oh, Canada. All right. The new song is going to be because God's praise is going to be from the very ends of the earth, and he describes all the ends of the earth, all of those who are going to know about it. Yordei Hayam, those who go down to the sea, Umalon, Philet, Iam, islands, Vyoshveim, and those who inhabit it. Yisu Midbar V'arav. Yisu, they should lift their voice in song. They will lift their voices in song. Those who live in the desert. Cities that are out in the desert. Chatzedim, Teshev, Kedar, Kedarav, nomadic tribes that live out either in their cities or their camps. Yoronu Yoshvei Sela, even the person who lives alone on a rock someplace is going to sing out with great sorrow. Meirosh Horim, from the very tops of the mountains, Yitzvachu, they're going to cry out. Because what God is going to do for his people then is something that will be known globally. Yosimu Hashem Kavod U'tehilato bo'iyim yagidu. Do you see those two words again? Yosimu Hashem Kavod. They will give to Hashem Kavod. They will recognize the essence of God. Now they're finally going to realize that he is the one and only invisible, omnipotent, eternal God. U'tehilato, but tehilah, praise, is something that you say throughout the world by virtue of the fact that we see what God has done. But Iam is going to be used time and time again. Iam doesn't necessarily mean only islands. In Tanakh it means those who live near water. I nearly forgot to read to you a magnificent Rashi. Rashi says in Pasuk 10, when it talks about Iyim the Yoshvehem islands and those who live there, says Rashi the following. Yordei Hayomu Malo, those who go down to the sea and that which fills it. She says it's talking about people hakivuim bayam. I'm reading the words of Rashi. Hakivuim bayam, who are established in the sea. V'lo bo'im, not necessarily on islands that are surrounded on all four sides by water. El betoch hamayim, he says, you know, there are people that where there is water, shofchim afar, kol echod echod, they pile up earth, and the earth grows, and everybody puts out earth over there, can they buy it enough for a house? And you go from house to house by boat. To go near Venetia. Srashi. Yordei Hayam Umelo'o. Those who fill the seas. So he says the Melo'o means that they fill, earth fill, and there they make their homes, and they go from house to house. They go by boat to go near Venetia. What's really included in these few psukim are people living any place on the face of this earth, wherever they may be. I was going to say for a moment, you know, in any godforsaken place, but over here, the purpose of the Navi is to say that no place on the face of this earth is going to be godforsaken. Because on the country, whether they be people who are on the the rocks alone or out in the desert, nomadic tribes, all of them are going to sing the praise of God, and to God they will give kavod, meaning that they will understand His essence, His essential nature, utihilato, the praise, even ba'im, out wherever people may be, they will be told. Hashem kagibor yetzei, God is going to go out like a gibor, like a mighty one. Ki'ish milchamot, like a man of war, yo'ir kin'ah, He's going to awaken vengeance. Yoriah, He's going to cry out, Af Yotzriach, He will scream, Al Oyevov Yid Gabor, He is going to become strong over His enemies. In this pasuk, we are describing, God is being described as the one who goes out against His enemies. Who are His enemies? So this we will save the full treatment for another share, but many places in Tanakh we find that the one who, the enemies of God, equal the enemies of Israel. The enemies of Israel are the enemies of God. Vayehi ben Tsoar Ha'aron, when the ark began to journey, Vayom Moshe, Kuma Hashem, arise, O God, v'yofutzu oyivecha, your enemies should be dispersed. V'yonutzu misanecha mipenecha, those who hate you shall flee before you. Says Rashi, who are the enemies of those who hate God? Whoever hates Israel is an enemy of God. So God is going to act like King Gibor. He's going to go out like a mighty one. And it means not only the enemies of the Jewish people, it begins with that. It means the destruction, the ultimate destruction of evil. What's the difference between a Gibor and an Ish Milchama? A Gibor, a mighty one, and an Ish Milchama, and a man of war. So the Malbim says, and I will be borrowing heavily from the Malbim. I love the Malbim. I love it. Gibor describes, again, the intrinsic power of an individual. In other words, a fellow who's strong. Strong. He is strong. Gibor. He can, you know, scale tall buildings in a single bound. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He has strength. An Ish Milchama does not necessarily have to be one who possesses personal great strength, but he is intelligent in the logic or the strategy of war. In other words, the fellow who's able to make the decisions how armies should move and what they should do does not have to be personally somebody who possesses great strength, but he possesses the ability, the intellectual ability, to plan, prepare, and carry out strategy. So God is, he is Gibor Yetzei, because he is Gibor, he's the most mightiest one of them all. And he is also Ish Milchamot. Where else is he described as Ish Milchama? In Az Yosher Hashem, Ish Milchama. He's going to awaken his vengeance against evil. And therefore, the description is the Gibor who goes out to war, Yoriah. Either he sounds the shofar or there's the cry of war, even to the point of Yatzriach screaming, you know, charge! Al Oyvav Yid Gabor. And ultimately, he is going to wax strong over his enemies. Hechasheti me'olam, acharish, et apak. God says, you know, for a long, long time I've remained silent. You know, you reach the point comes when the Rebbein Shem has remained silent too long against the forces of evil. Hechasheti me'olam, since time immemorial. From the very beginning, I always remained silent. Acharish. Acharish also means to be silent, but there is something, another meaning to this. Acharish means when I should respond and react to somebody who has said something or somebody who's done something, and etapak, I hold myself back. Restraining oneself. There are times that one is simply silent. Huh? Very good. Pasuk in Megillat Esther, Mordechai tells Esther, Im hacharesh tacharishi ka'et hazot miyotea im ka'et hazot higat hamachut, if you are going to remain silent. Over there, the remaining silent means you're not going to respond to the situation at hand. Very good. Very good. Remember also, we're going to have in Yeshayahu, Leman Tzion lo echesheh. So God says, I've always been silent. I have restrained myself from responding, but that's not going to be so anymore. I am going to cry out like the woman who gives birth and is in labor pains. And I think it's very fascinating, the next three words. Eshom, Eshom, Ve'eshav, Yachad. Eshom, Eshom is to breathe out. Eshaf is to breathe in. Isn't that the whole chachma of labor and childbirth? When to breathe out and when to breathe in? And God is describing this process of the breathing in and the breathing out. But wait a minute, what does it mean? It means that there is something, God is using the metaphor of a woman who's about to give birth, that means there are all sorts of things going on inside her, and the cries come out, and something is going to burst forth. I want you to listen to the next pasuk. Achariv harim ugevaot. I am going to destroy mountains and hills. Harim and Gvaot are also going to appear often in Yeshayahu. Achariv harim ugvaot. V'chol ezbam, and all of the grass, O fish, I will dry. I will dry up all the grass. V'samtin harot lo'iyim, I'm going to turn rivers. When parts of rivers are destroyed, so what remains over there are islands in the midst of what used to be a river. V'agamim ovish, I'm going to dry up the lakes. I want to read a sentence from the Malbim. It gets a little scary. Kol mashet si'er pu'olat Hashem kitnu'ot isha yoledet. The description of God as He acts, and using as the metaphor the pregnant woman, you know what it describes? Hayam mashal el ra'ash ha'aretz. It is describing an earthquake. Hashem bo yadish Hashem yadish et ovei Hashem. He's going to use the earthquake to destroy the enemies of God. Because the earthquake means that there are all sorts of things rumbling within the belly of the earth until they finally burst out and destroy mountains and hills, dry out rivers. So the metaphor is that there will be earthquakes that are going to bring terrible destruction. Ki ha'ra'ash yitaveh. An earthquake happens. Within the belly of the full earth, there are all sorts of things that are cooking and cooking in there, waiting to burst out, just as the woman who has the embryo that is ready to burst out. All of the gases that are in the earth, Asher eit yitlahavu, when they begin to burn, v'timolei beten ha'adom, and the stomach of the earth becomes full, ad ki tovo ha'adom al ha'mashber, until the earth reaches the point of giving birth, bursting forth, and that's what's going to happen. It may also be describing that God throughout history has remained silent, and then comes the moment at which you can't remain silent anymore. And it all bursts out. Ultimately, this is it. The time has come for all evil to be destroyed. And you know what I'm going to do, huh?
When woman gives birth, she gives birth to life. And the whole class here,
Yeah, well, that's the purpose of the metaphor. In other words, what's going to be given life?
Earthquake
is destruction, but there is the new world that comes afterwards. Last chapter in Yeshayahu. Hinini borei chadosh, I'm going to create a new world. And the new world is going to be built on the ruins of the previous one. There are times at which the only way to remove evil is by destroying it completely. Who was it that was quoting the Gemara in the house to me? Who was it? The Gemara at the end of Megillah that says, Binyan Zekenim Stida. Is that it? The elders, the building of the elders, no, the building of those which are young is Stira, destruction. And Stida Zekenim, the destruction of the elders is Binyan, is construction. But it means like this, the elders realize that there are things that have to be removed from the face of this earth. So therefore, when they destroy in order to be able to build something new on top of it. I mean, when we're talking about destruction, it doesn't have to be necessarily death and destruction. Sometimes you have to get rid of an old order and usher in the new order. Was it where? No, that was by Shlomo HaMelech, Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, was, that's where the Gemara says it, by the way, where they came to him and they said that he should lower the taxes, too much taxes. So the elders told him, listen to the people now and you'll see someday they're going to serve you and be loyal to you. And then he asked his friends, his young Chukchikluch, and they told him, tell the people that your pinky finger is bigger than the loins of my father Shlomo, and if he beat you with whips, I'm going to beat you with thorns and thistles and all the rest. So that's where the Gemara says that the young are destructive, and the old are... Who are wizened by time are the ones who can build. So whatever destruction we're talking about over here is a destruction that's necessary in order to bring about the new world. And you know what's going to happen in that new world? V'holachti ivrim, I'm going to take the blind, I'm going to lead the blind, b'derech lo yado, on a road that they never knew, b'netivot lo yadu adrichem, on paths that they never knew before, new highway, I'm going to take them along. Here is the first passage that we've come to that is a description of Kibbutz Galiot, the ingathering of the exiles, which is one of the major themes of Yeshayahu, and we'll see in a moment. I'm going to take the blind on a way that they didn't know. There is a difference between Derech and Netiv. The difference between Derech and Netiv is, and there are a number of other words that describe roads, or paths, or streets, or highways, byways. Derech is a big road. The Netiv is a pathway. I'm going to take them through major highways. I'm going to take them on Netivot that they never knew. And the blind can mean two things. It can mean that they're really blind and I have to take them. Or blind, they don't know the way. They don't know the way. If you never traveled, have you ever noticed? When you travel someplace you haven't been there before, it's longer getting there than coming back. And it's the same amount of time. But there's something about if you don't know the road, like, should I turn here? Should I turn there? Should I go here? I'm going to make the darkness before them into light. And if there are curves in the road, I'm going to make it straight. These are the things that I've already done in the past, when I took Jews out of Egypt, when I brought Jews back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, I have not forsaken them, I'm going to do it again. But this time I'm going to do it in a way that the whole world is going to bear witness to it. You know what's going to happen at that time? There's going to be a theological crisis that men is going to live through. Because what's going to be with all of those people who believed in of the gods. And here they see that the God of Israel, the God of Israel, is indeed the true God. Nosogu achor, they're going to move backward. La seget, unfortunately, that's a word that we know. Nosogu is la seget, withdrawing, going backwards, withdrawal. Nisiga, nosogu achor. Yevoshu boshet, they will be shamed with shame. Hapotchim papasel, those who put their trust in a... in an idol. Ha'omdim l'masecha, those who say to a, give me another word for an idol, to a statue. Good. Atem Eloheinu, you are our God. The pasuk is talking about two kinds of people. There were those in ancient times, and even in modern times, who simply didn't believe in God. There's no God. Finish. There were others who did believe in God. God created the world. God exists. But they also believed that there are certain powers that he gave to different forces in nature or in the world. So there are habotchim bapasel. Habotchim bapasel means one who believes that there's a God, but he places his trust in this idol. Because God has handed over the running of the world to the pasel. And then there are even those fools who say about a masecha, about the statue, you are our God. In other words, they reject the idea of God altogether. Nosogu achor, who's going to step back? The ones who do believe in God but place their trust in a pesel, they're going to withdraw. They're going to step back. Because their mistake was only in one thing. They believed in God, except they put their trust in the idol. So they're going to step back, they're going to remove themselves from their previous position. But then there are those who indeed believe that this is the strength and the power is in this idol. They're going to be full of shame. Now, I want to tell you, this is for me also a theme throughout Tanakh. And we're going to find it here too. Habotchim papasel, those who place their trust in a pesel, doesn't necessarily have to mean limited to somebody who has his little statuette, Getchkala over there, his dashboard Madonna, and in that he places his faith. The pesel can be anybody or anything. It can be money, it can be the European market, it can be the United States of America. Placing trust in anything besides the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is misplaced trust. Balkan Bapazo means when I feel that, oh, the Yeshua is going to come, as we said yesterday, the only thing that happens when world leaders, so to speak, with a small L, come here, is a traffic jam in Yerushalayim. Nothing else is accomplished. And we cannot place our trust. Botkin bapesel means placing trust in something simply that should not receive our trust. How many times... We're going to have that. We're going to come to that metaphor. How many times in the past I must have said to you that I remember the cry... It was mamish a cry of Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was at a shir where he said, he talked about the silence of Jews during the Second World War. So remember, you could feel the pain in his voice. He says, I blame nobody. I'm not placing blame anywhere. He says, why didn't I run out into the streets of Boston and cry out on behalf of the Jewish people? Why didn't I do that? Says how a terrible mistake American Jewry's terrible mistake is that we placed our faith and trust in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Roosevelt can do no wrong. Our responsibility is never to put faith or trust in any human being, in any power aside from God. Habokim bapesel nosogu achor. The way we read the pasuk now, it means there are four parts to the pasuk. Nasogu achor, there are those who withdraw and retreat from their position, and there are those that are yevoshu boshet, they are full of embarrassment. And then there are two others who are the people that we're talking about? There are those who are Botrin Bapesel, who place their trust in some other power. And then there are those who say to a Masecha, to a statue, they say, Atem Eloheinu, you are our God. So the four parts of the Pasuk are to be read the following way. Nosogu Achor, who withdraws? Botrin Bapesel, those who place their trust in some other power. Who are the ones that are going to be a boshet full of shame, embarrassment? Those who say about an asecha, ata elo, atem eloheinu, you are our God. I always get this feeling that the word masecha is the way we use it, a masecha is a mask. When the idol will ultimately be unmasked. To mask! The mask in terms of the human idol may very well be, oh, deep friendship with the Jewish people, an ally, and then comes the moment at which the mask is removed. Hachershin Shema'u, those who cannot hear, listen. V'ha Ivrim Habitu Lirot, and those who are blind, I want you to look. And here, God, the Navi, is saying, who's the real blind one? Who's the one who really can't hear? My servant, my people Israel, because from them I expect more than anybody else. What do I expect from other people on the face of this earth? From you, who have experienced my greatness, I took you out of Egypt, I've done miracles for you, 40 years in the desert, I brought you to Eretz Yisrael, I did so much for you. Mi iver, who is as blind, Ki'im Avdi, like my servant. V'chedesh, and who is as unhearing as Malachi Eshlach, the one to whom I send my messenger, the prophet. Mi Iver Kimishulam, who is as blind as the one who is complete in his relationship with God, like, you're the ones. I took care of you all these years. And who is Iver, who is blind, Ke'ever Hashem, like the servant of God. The servant of God, we expect of him that he should be able to see and hear and be aware. We have a tremendous history behind us. We should know exactly what's happening in the world. Ra'os Rabot, the Lo Tishmar. There is so much to see. But they don't watch themselves to see. There's so much. If you just open up your eyes, there's so much to see. Kokoach is Nayim. You can open up your ears. But the Lo Yishma, they don't want to hear. And what you don't understand is, Hashem Chafetz Leman Tzidko, God wants for the righteousness of the Jewish people. That's why he gave you Torah. That's why he gave you mitzvahs. Yagdil Torah v'yadeh, that Torah should be great and honored. This is what he wants. And you are the ones that are the bearers, the ones who carry Torah. By the way, the Haftorah for Parashat Bereshit, according to Ashkenazim, ends over here. But the Sfaradim go further. There is no discrimination in this class, and especially since the Sfaradim continuing Yeshayahu, let's see what they are going to read. Yes, Marshall?
I would say that when he describes him as being deaf and blind, we're like the pestle.
Oh, that's very nice.
I think that to say that those who...
That's very nice. I didn't think of that. In other words, by describing us as deaf and blind, we are being described just like the idol who is deaf and blind. Or for that matter, the human being who's deaf to the cries of the Jewish people or blind to their suffering, it's all the same. Yes?
That Hashem calls them in heaven, that is even a bigger condemnation than ever to know
the master. That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. The servant of God? Of course, the servant of God should know. All right. Yes, Toby.
Jewish people undertake to be Avodah Hashem.
Avodah Mayinu Lefarah v'Mitzrayim. Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mitzrayim. Yes, says the Halacha. If I free a slave, I acquire the slave for myself. That's when we became his slaves. That's right. Okay? Now, this is what we're supposed to be telling our children, Tony.
Yeah, I understand.
All right. Let's go further. We're getting into it. We're getting into it. There's going to be so much fascinating and beautiful. Let's just get into it. V'hu am bazuz v'shasui. V'hu am bazuz v'shasui hofeach b'chuli. A description of the Jewish condition. Am bazuz v'shasui. Bazuz, who are looted. They steal, they take everything from us. Shasui means even more trampled. The difference between bazuz and shasui is the following. An army will invade. So they're going to a Ganef is going to come. So there are things that he's going to take for his own use. He'll take the TV, the video. He'll walk off with ammunition, you know. There is spoil that is taken to be used by the enemy. But then there are things that the enemy doesn't take and just destroys them for the sake of destruction. That's shasui. Bazuz is, I take spoil for me. But that's not enough. The enemy also has to destroy simply and purely for the sake of destruction. V'hu am, a people, bazuz, that stolen loot and spoil is taken with them. V'shasui, and crushed and destroyed. In l'chododi, v'hoyu l'mishisa shosoyich. Those who destroy you, those who trample you, will be destroyed. Hofeach, hofeach bachurim kulam. It could be, there are a number of pshatim over here. It could be that hofeach means that they speak. Hofeach means, you're from Vayitach bi'atov nishmat chayim, when God makes first man. So the Targum says, Vayitach, he placed into him the ability to speak. Man can talk. Hofeach bachurim kulam, they all speak or cry out. And bachurim over here is a very interesting word. We would normally assume that it means, you know, the young. But it comes from the word chor, hol. In their holes or in their hiding places, they cry out. And in houses in which they are locked up, they've hidden themselves for fear of the enemy. Well, I need more than Anne Frank. They were robbed. There's nobody here to save them. She saw they were crushed. Just plain wanton destruction. And there's nobody who says, well, you know, make it good. Return it. I mean, it's 50 years after the Holocaust, you understand, and Jews are beginning to ask now for pieces of art that were stolen. I don't know why it took 50 years. I can't understand why it took 50 years. I mean, that nations of the world stole and robbed.
Huh?
It was secret up until now. I mean, how didn't Jews know that things were taken stolen from them? When I misplace my tape recorder, you should see how I get upset. It could be you're right. Yeah, no, sorry, it could be you're right. Mibachem Yazinzot. Who is there amongst you that's going to listen to this? Yachshiv. Yakshiv v'yishma le'achor. Who is there that's going to listen, that's going to hear, that's going to understand this? There should have been a question that should have troubled you all these years. What should have troubled you is, why are we singled out this way from all other nations upon the face of this earth? Minatam le'mishisa Yaakov. Who's the one that gave permission for Yaakov to be crushed? The Yisrael opposes him. Who was the one that gave permission for Yisrael to be robbed? Hallo Hashem. History is the work of God. It's God. Zu chatanolo, the one to whom we sinned. V'lo avu bedrachav haloch. We didn't want to go in his ways. V'lo shamu b'tarato. We didn't listen to his Torah. So you know what the result was? Vayishpoch alav chema apo. He poured out upon him the anger of his wrath. The Azuz Milchama, the might of war. It burned all around him. V'lo yadani, he wasn't intelligent enough to know. Bativarbo, it consumed him. V'lo yosim alevin, he didn't place it upon his heart. Didn't realize. All we have to do is just return to the Rebbein Shalalam, and we can bring redemption immediately. V'yakla, and now, Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, Bora Acha Yaakov, the one who has created Yaakov, V'yotzercha Yisrael, the one who has formed you, Yisrael, Al Tira, don't be afraid, Tiga Al Ticha, because I have redeemed you. One general rule that will assist us in most of the prophecy here. What is going to happen in the future is very often described in past tense. Because in the eyes of God and in the eyes of his prophet, he has already seen the whole story. He is describing what he saw. He is therefore able to describe what's going to happen in the future in past tense. It's already happened. Al tira, don't be afraid. Tiga al tira. I have redeemed you. Karati b'shimcha. I called your name. Li ata. You are mine. This is one of those psukim that I get a shiver down my spine. Ki tavar b'mayim. You pass through water. Itcha ani. I am with you. Ubanaharot, if you're going to go through rivers that are raging rivers, lo yishtefucha, they will not sweep you away. Ki teleich b'mo esh, you will go through fire, lo tikaveh, you will not be singed. V'lehava, and flame, lo tivarvach, shall not burn in you. He's describing that ultimately Klal Yisrael is going to survive. And not only Klal Yisrael is going to survive, Klal Yisrael is going to make its way back to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to cross mountains and rivers and lakes, and you're going to make your way back, because I'm going to bring you back. Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, because I am God your God. Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Moshi Echa, the one who saves you. Natati Kafrecha Mitzrayim. Probably if I'd want to translate this into Yiddish, I would say, Akapura of Mitzrayim. In other words, the one who is going to suffer in your place, the one who's going to be your atonement, is Mitzrayim. Kush u'tzva tachtecha. Kush and Sva, these are, that's Ethiopia and the Sudan, will be in your place. There are two important things. One I'm just going to tell you now, and the other one I'm only going to tell you that there will be a major share of this, because it's one of the unique expressions that is repeated over and over again in Yeshayahu. We're going to have it a number of times here. An understanding of the term Kadosh Yisrael. I'm just going to telling you that the term Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel, has to be understood. It has tremendous, tremendous meaning. Powerful meaning. But that's to come, you know. We're going to talk about Kibbutz Golios, the ingathering of the exiles as it appears throughout Yeshayahu. We're going to talk about Kadosh Yisrael that appears as a description of God in this Sefer Yeshayahu more than in any other place. And then there's another thing that relates to something that I think we said last week. When it says that Mitzrayim is going to be your ransom, or Kush Utsva Tachtecha, so if you take it literally, so you think that, well, you know, in our times or in times to come, Kush, Svav, Mitzrayim, what do they mean? See, what we have to realize is that the Navi is always speaking in metaphors that can be understood by the people of his time. Its meaning and its fulfillment may be very far off into the future, but he's describing, he's using as the means to get the message across, he's using metaphors that are understood by the people of his time. I think we gave the example last week when we talked about the Isaiah wall at the United Nations, where it says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning the hooks. All right? So one, if one is going to take it literally, he's going to say, well, what are you talking about? We don't use swords or we don't use spears anymore. No? It's going to be, you know, it will be tanks into computers. That's the way it's going to be. because the Navi is always using terminology that can be understood by the people who are listening to him in his time. But its meaning spans all of time. Whatever will be the equivalent in terms of what's used in the world, that's what artillery will become pens. I don't know, whatever he's going to do with it. So here also, when he uses Mitzrayim or Kush Usvot, which to us may not be meaningful, but it was terribly meaningful to the people at the time of Yeshayahu, because the ones who came through Eretz Yisrael and stole and robbed and destroyed were Mitzrayim, Kush, and Tzvah, and they're going to be the kapah. May Asher Yokarto Be'einai Nirvadito Vani Hafticha. May Asher Yokarto Be'einai, because you're precious in my eyes. God says you are precious. May Asher Yokarto Be'einai, because you are precious in my eyes. Nirvadito. You are full of honor. And if we use the word Nirvad before to describe the essential nature of God, Nirvadit over here means that when you get down to the Pintalayid, the Jew contains great holiness and great potential. You're honored, Vani Avticha, and I love you. And again here, when it says I loved, past tense, really spans past, present, and future. I loved you, and I continue to love you. Ve'etein odom tachtecha. I will place man under you. You will rise in this world. Ulu'umim and nations tachat nafshecha. In place of your life. And Rashi here, in order that we shouldn't make the mistake, says Rashi, tamid ani ragol betach. I always do that. What it means is that the history of nations is very often determined by God because of the needs of the Jewish people. It's not world history that impinges upon our history. It's our history, or what God wants our history to be like, that makes the difference as to what is going to happen by the nations of the world. Didn't we say that in Hazinu, Sha'al Avicha V'Yagecha Zekeinacha V'Yamru Lach? What's the next person? V'Anchel Elyon Goyim Adam, when God separates and divides the nations on the face of the earth, it's only because of the needs of Klal Yisrael. Tamid ani ragol betach, Rashi says, I always do that. Al pira, don't be afraid, ki yitchani, and here comes one of the great psukim. Mi mizrach avi zarecha, from the east I'm going to bring your children. Umi ma'arav akavet zecha, from the west I'm going to gather you in. Omer, God is going to say, latzafon, to the north, teimi, give me my people. Ule teimon, and to the south, al tichloi, don't lock them up anymore. Havi'i bonai mirachot, bring my sons from afar. Ubenotai, my daughters, me could say, ha, that's on the very ends of the earth. What a pasuk. Tell me we're not the living proof that the words of the Navi are absolutely right. Hasn't happened in 2,000 years, and here we are Jews. Our problem, of course, is we have an English accent, American accent, which is certainly not something to be proud of here in this country. Americans, you know, Mishugoyim from Borough Park to Tapuach, or from West Hempstead to Harnoth, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah, all right. Should I give you the, yeah. You know what? While I'm talking, just... How many people are, I don't think I made enough.
Czechoslovakia was a free railway. They used to be the main tank supplier for the Soviet Union bomb.
Czechoslovakia, well, they supplied Israel.
They supplied everyone, but when they stopped, they didn't need to fight them and turn their tanks down to commercial.
Oh, very nice. Says that Czechoslovakia was one of the great arms suppliers, and then when they didn't need to produce arms anymore, they retooled, I imagine, and turned it into, making blenders and Refrigerators. Refrigerators. Now, if there aren't enough, do you have enough?
They used to make the cakes. Now they make the cakes.
We're going to stop. Now, you better put together a scrapbook or a, what do you call it, a folder? Because I'm going to be handing out things from time to time. You're going to have to precisely... Except we share one. I think I made 40 or 41 this month. What we have over here, beginning with page 71, I think, are nearly all of the psukim in which Yeshayahu describes the... Kibbutz Goliels, the ingathering of exiles. You'll take a look on page 72. So there you're going to see the two psukim that we just learned. Al-Tira. Al-Tira. No, what are you talking about? Learn, Sefer Bereishis. God says to Avram in Parshas Lech Lecha, Al-Tira Avram Anochi Mogin Lecha. God says to Yitzchak, Al-Tira. God says to Yaakov when he's on his way to Mitzrayim, Al-Tira Midido Mitzrayim, or don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. God says to Moshe, Al-Tira.
I didn't mean that. That's the first thing that you need.
It's not a peculiar expression. I think it's a very beautiful expression.
I agree.
All right.
Asking whether he is the prophet.
I don't know. But what they don't have over here, of course, is the psukim that we read earlier, pasuk beis ki tavor b'mayim. In other words, this pasuk is talking about the call to all corners of the globe, all four corners of the globe, that Jews should come back. Al tira, God says, don't be afraid, tiyachani. But in the process of their returning. So, Pasuk Beit had told us, I mean, these are really psukim. You have to learn them. Ki tavor b'mayim itcha'ani, u'banharot lo yishtifucha, ki teleg b'mo'esh lo tikaveh, v'lahava lo tibarba. I'm going to use you. I'm telling you. I'm going to get these psukim down so clear. Al-tira ki itcha'ani. He's going to say al-tira a number of times. Don't be afraid, ki itcha'ani, I'm with you. From the east I will bring your children. I say to the north, give. I mean, I wonder whether we could say, you know, Tzafon really is Russia. To Russia I said, Taini, give them out. Taman, Jews were really locked up over there. Al tichloi, don't. Like, by the way, I think when was it? 2 days ago in the Jerusalem Post, there was a very, very beautiful article by Leisha Cohen. Beautiful article on the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. Very beautiful article. And every time I read a good article, I always think I should call Moshe Cohen and tell him that it's a great article. I think this only has to tell him. He says I should write to his editor. That's right. Vela, you email the editor that we have a whole class here that liked Moshe Cohen's article. Those who read it and those who didn't read it are going to read a very beautiful article. By the way, it was fascinating. There was an article next to it. There was an article next to it that a member of a cousin of mine called me up about that article, and we've gone to work. There was an article by Sam Orbaum.
Yes.
Sam about Dr. Franz Blau, who came from Ruptitz.
Right.
Yes. My family, my father's family, comes from Ruptitz.
Right.
And we never knew what happened to the Jewish community of Ruptitz. And this Dr. Franz Blau writes that they herded the entire Jewish community of Ruptitz into the local synagogue and burned them all alive. The first that we heard, we checked with members of our family who are in their 80s, didn't know what happened to Ruptitz. So he's going to be giving a lecture on Thursday at Hadassah in Kerem from 2 to 4. So we've already made up that we want to talk to him, find out whatever information he knows about Gobchitz. We never knew what happened to Gobchitz. All we know is that my father, Lava Shalom, and all of his siblings, except one, the oldest in the family, Fishel Gold, is the only one who remained with about 7 or 8 children in his family. We never knew anything about them afterwards, but two of his children, of this oldest sibling, left Gobchitz in 1935 and came to Eretz Yisrael. They survived, and they're here, quite in their 80s, but here, but we never knew what happened to Gobchitz. And there was Sam Orval in the, I don't always often read what he has to say, so we want to find out the information. How does he know what happened to Gobchitz? But we do know from, I have an aunt who's in her late 80s, some of you know, Hanna Morgenstein, yeah. You know. So okay. She says she remembers the Franz Blau family from...
I met Edel Franz Blau. He used to come to my mother's home very frequently when he came to New York. And Dr. Franz Blau, yes.
All right, you spoke to me. Oh, very good, very good. I tolerate Toby because she's Mishpucha, you understand? Among other members of my family. She's Mishpucha, what are you talking? All right. So I had Mimizra from the east, I will bring your children, Umimarov from the west. I have this feeling Akabitzecha means, you know, you have to go out and gather. I think to get Jews from the West, it takes a little bit more effort on God's part. So, Mimarav Akabzecha. But to Tzafon, I say, Taini, Ulatayman into the South, don't permit Jews to be, don't live, they can't remain locked up anymore. Havi'i Bonai Merachal, bring my sons from afar, Ubinotai, my daughters, Mikitse Hores, from the very ends of the earth. Kol Hanikrab Ishmi. Anyone who's called by my name, a servant of God, vilichvodi, and he is a reflection of my honor, birativ, yitzartiv, achasitiv. Here we have in one pasuk the three classic words, and there are going to be a number of other psukim in Yeshayahu where these three words are used. Bara, there's a difference between bara, yotzar, and asiya, and you find it in Parashat Bereshit. Bara means to create from nothing. Kriyatio ex nihilo, to create from nothing. So you create matter, but then you have to give form to the matter. Yotzer, the Yotzer is the one who takes the raw materials, and from the raw materials he makes something. The completion and the fulfillment, the final touches, are Asiya. I have taken this people, I created them, I formed them, and I have made them. Hotzi am iver. I'm going to take out from the exile a blind people. Ve'inayim yesh. They have eyes, but they're blind. They don't see what's happening. Ve'chershim, those who are deaf, before oznayim lamo, they have ears. Kol hakoyim nitpitzu yachdav, all of the nations of the world have gathered together. Let them gather. V'yeosfu le'umim. And let peoples, the difference between goy and le'um. The difference between goy and le'um. Who says it? Who am I going to quote now? The Malbim, of course. The Malbim says that the difference between goy and le'um is that a le'um is identified by religion. And a goy is described by its locali or regionali. In other words, they are defined and described by the by where they live. So a lo'un are nations that have a religion of their own. They, by the way, don't have to be gathered in the same place. They can be in different places, and they are related to one another by virtue of religion. Goyim are people who are defined by where they come from. And God says, Mi behem yagid zot. Get all the nations of the world together, all the religions. Who is there that can tell this? Who can tell what is going to happen in the future? Virishonot Yashmiru. Tell us in advance now. Let us hear what's going to happen. Yitnu Eidayim Yitzchakul. Let them bring witnesses that they were ever able to tell what's going to happen in the future. And then we will say that they're right. V'yishmu, we're going to listen. V'yavru emet. Let's see if they ever said the truth. Were they ever able to foresee the future? Did it ever happen that, you know, a Nabi would stand up and say such and such is going to happen? And precisely as it was said, that's the way it happened. Atem Eidayim Le'um Hashem. You are my witnesses, says God. And I say it to all of us. We are the living witnesses of the fulfillment of the prophecies of the of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. Atem Eidayim, you are my witnesses, says God. Ba'avdi, you are my servant, Hashem. Bachartu, you are my chose. L'man teidu, so that you should know, v'taminu li, and believe me, v'tavinu, and understand. Ki ani hu, I am it. L'fanai lo notzar el, before me there was no God who was formed. V'acharai lo yiyeh, and there will not be one after me. Now, we're not yet ready to know the difference between teida and ta'amin and tavin, to know, to believe, to understand. That is going to come. But God says that the Jewish people bear witness. How many times did I say it over here over the last few years? P.M. Raskin's poem that was written in 1914, Israel, my people, God's greatest riddle, will thy solution ever be told? Thou, an eternal witness, remainest, bearing a message. God is but one. Atem Eidai. You want to hear the rest of the poem? Come on, say yes. Say yes. I don't know if I remember it all. Egypt enslaved thee, Babylon crushed thee, Rome led thee captive, homeless thy head. Where are those nations, mighty and fearsome? Thou hast survived them, they are long dead. Nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows wiped off the earth. Thou, an eternal witness, remainest, bearing a message, God is but one. There are more stanzas, but after Chazan Amova, I don't know. I have a copy. I can make a copy for you. Of course I'll make a copy for you. But then you'll all be able to. And it's a poem you should learn by. Atem Eidai Ne'um Hashem, you are my witnesses, says God. P.M. Raskin. Raskin. It appears, yes, I have a copy at home. I have a copy at home. It's in the, there's a book of Jewish thoughts that was put out by Rabbi Hertz, who had been the chief rabbi of England. Charles, you have the book of Jewish thoughts? There's great stuff in the book of Jewish thoughts. So, and I don't know, I had a copy one in my early youth because I said this at my elementary school graduation in Gedenknach. Scheid may ask me a pasuk that I learned a half an hour ago, Gedenknach, but I do remember, I remember this poem. And after many years, I'd lost the book. And then I was in a rabbi's office in Cape Town, and I saw it, and he saw the lust with which I looked at that book, and he said to me, Rabbi, you can have it, and he inscribed it and gave it to me. So, believe me, I'll make a copy for you. All right, hold on to these sheets, because we're going to study the various places where Kibbutz Golos, this is the first part of our unit, the ingathering of the exiles, how it is described by Yeshayahu. Okay.